come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded teaching of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled, Yet I Will Rejoice, a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the book of Habakkuk. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Yay, it's just so good to see all of you guys in here. I'm excited to see people and see what God's going to do. As you recall, we started this study on January 14th. And at that time, I shared with you my verse for the year, which I also shared last week when I was teaching. And that verse is Nahum 2:1. Now, I have collected all the different translations of Nahum 2:1, and I just want to read it to us all so that we can see what God had to say at the beginning of this year. And he said, first thing he said in Nahum 2:1 is, someone is coming up against you. That was number one. Someone is coming up against you. And we can just tick that off and say that, yes, that has been true. So we are to be on our guard because someone is coming up against us. We are to watch where we're going. All of the translations said, watch the road. Watch the road. Watch where you are going. Watch where you're stepping. Watch where you plant your feet. And then to strengthen, brace yourself, and put on your armor. Strengthen, brace yourself, and put on your armor. The whole armor of God. Helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, having our feet shod with the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And fortify and collect all of your strength. Is there anybody else who has looked at this verse and said, I have needed during this time to strengthen my strength. I've had to fortify my strength. I came into this with a little bit of strength. I thought I was stronger than I was. Did anybody else find that out? You find that you're a little bit you thought, well, I got this. You know, I can handle this. Yeah, I'm handling it. Yeah, I'm not handling it at all. So we needed to fortify our strength. And how many times did we mention in this study that God has you positioned? This is God positioning his people. And that was so perfect for this study this time as we watched God do that. God positioning his people many times in their homes. Just in their homes. I didn't want to be in my home all the time. Although I by nature, I'm a homebody, I like to stay home. I like to do what I want to do and not be bothered by anything else. But I don't want to be told that I have to do that because, you know, that just doesn't make it any fun. God positioned me there. And God positioned you there. God has positioned his people. And I know that God has put us exactly where we're supposed to be. I believe we talked about that last week as well. And we are not here at this time in this place by accident. And we are all, yes, even you, we are all here right exactly where we are supposed to be. God has positioned us in this place, and I'm so glad that he told us all of this ahead of time. In John 14:29, he said, these things I have spoken to you so that when they come upon you, you may believe. So that when they come upon you, you may believe. And I'll tell you, I believe. I believe what God had to say to us. And so, Lord, as we just look into your word right now, we pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would just minister your life, Lord, through all of this, through the teaching tonight. Father, I pray for your direction. I pray, Father, for your anointing. I am so thankful, Lord, to be here together. I am so thankful, Lord, for the things that you're doing. I'm so thankful, Lord, that you are continuing to do great things in our lives. So we thank you, Lord, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we started our study through the book of Ruth and the story of love, friendship, loyalty, but especially the story of redemption. It was especially the story of redemption. Remember that Ruth was not just a nice short story. It was filled with the consequences of women who were willing to be all in. Women who were willing to be all in, completely all in. We committed to some things. And so we need questions on this. You don't have any homework on this, so I'm going to remind you of some things that you committed to and ask you the questions on those things that you committed to at the beginning of our study. We committed to asking God what he wanted to see changed in us. And then we asked him for the strength, the courage, the commitment, the loyalty, and the friendships that we were going to need to accomplish what he had called us to do in the place where he positioned us. And so we committed to asking God what he wanted to change in us and then giving us the ability to make those changes. So that's something you're going to want to answer. Has God made some changes in you? He's certainly made some changes in me that I know of. We began the book of Esther on February 25th. That book, the book that shows God's mercy and grace. Esther shows God's mercy and his grace. And it is the book of choices. It's the book of choices, choosing to do things God's way, even when it hurts, even when it's uncomfortable, even when it's hard, to keep doing things, choosing to do things God's way. And in Esther, it included fasting. And prayer always is connected with fasting. I know just before Easter, I started fasting on Thursday and stopped my fast on Easter Sunday. And, you know, normally when you go without food, do you find that, oh, yeah, well, gee, that kind of hurts. Oh, I must be starving to death, you know, in these couple of days. Or you just feel, oh, I got this headache. I've got this. None of that was there because God had called me to that fast. And so those times when I would have been eating, I was fasting. I was praying. So those times that I would have been eating, but I wasn't because I was fasting, during those times, I was praying. So God took care of that. And so it is important that we choose to do things God's way, even if it includes a little bit of discomfort, because nothing that we're going through is as much as what he went through. We are told that we must make a choice. We must make a choice. The world's messages are often completely opposite to God's righteous ideas and counsel. We get messages from TV. We get messages from social media. Has anyone else noticed how much messaging we had gotten from social media and how much influence that we've gotten from that? We can be influenced through official studies, through polls. How many of us, when they said, oh, this many died, this many are sick, that we just went, oh, wait, what? It's really bad. God's got this. But we were affected by the numbers, and our faith was tested as we walked through that time. And sometimes we are affected by ungodly friends' advice. What should be What should influence us? God's word should always influence God's counsel, also through godly people. Always God's word is at the basis of it. So seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, and he will abundantly pardon. Abundantly pardon. I love that word, abundant. Abundantly pardon us. And so God has taken the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and I am proof of that he has taken the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. So by the time we got to chapter 4, we found ourselves in lockdown. By chapter 4 of the book of Esther, we were in lockdown. And so we couldn't meet at the church anymore. I was scheduled to speak at the When Leaders Leads Conference, When Leaders Lead Conference, we were to do that on Friday the 13th. I had two guests staying at my house, and I just got a bottle of water. Thank you very much. Yeah. I was supposed to do When Leaders Lead on Friday the 13th. I had two guests staying at my house from out of town. We were having a great time. And then on Friday afternoon, the retreat center called us, let us know. They called us, they texted us, and they emailed us that it had been canceled. So we didn't get to go. So, not wanting to waste a good study, we gathered together with a number of ladies who were going to go to the retreat or go to the conference, and some ladies who weren't able to go to the conference but could do a one-day thing. And so they all came to my house, and we had a good time. The conference theme was vision. And what do you think the verse was that went with it? Habakkuk 2:2, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. And so that study, write the vision, make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. What that teaching was devotional life, what you leave behind. What will you leave behind from your devotional life? So what is devotion anyway? What does it mean? What does that word devotion mean? It means love. It means loyalty, enthusiasm for an activity or a person or a cause. It means devotedness. Devotedness. I've not heard that word before. Devotedness probably is the correct word in that place. But devotedness, spirituality, holiness, saintliness. Is a devotional life important to you? Of course it is. That devotional life is important. Yes, of course. Personal devotions are simply the time that a follower of Jesus invests with God. Simply the time that a follower of Jesus invests with God. And so we come into God's presence with the purpose of deepening and strengthening our relationship with God, with the purpose of deepening and strengthening our relationship with God. Our spirit longs for his presence. Doesn't your spirit long for his presence with you? Psalm 42:1, as the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for thee, O Lord, my God. Lots of times we read of Jesus going into a quiet place, off alone with his father's personal devotional, the personal devotional life helps us to mature spiritually. It helps us to mature spiritually. That's what the devotional life is doing in us. God invites us into a relationship with him. He invites us. Deuteronomy 4:29. You will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. In Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He calls us. We have an invitation to the rest in God's presence, to rest in God's presence. Jesus invites us to be his disciple. What is a disciple? A disciple is a servant. A disciple is a follower. A disciple is a learner who gets to know God intimately. Don't you want to know God intimately? We get to know him intimately. John 12:26. Whoever serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. So we can follow him. We have that invitation to rest in God's presence and to be his disciples. How do we follow? John 15:5, abide in me. Abide in me. That is, live with me. We are invited to dwell with the living God, to dwell with the living God, to be in his presence. Psalm 91:1, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High will abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He who dwells, he who lives there in the secret place, in the secret place of the Most High. The purpose of a devotional life, a devotional time, is to get alone with God in the secret place and talk with him. Get alone with God. Alone with God. Alone with God. Just you and him, alone with God, in that secret place, and talk with him. And sometimes it's a time of quietness with him. How many times have we all went to the Lord with, and could I have this, and could you do this, and that, and this, and that, and the other thing, and then said, okay, I'm done praying. God wants us to stop when we've had that time of prayer, and he wants us to stop and just listen. Listen. Listen to what the Lord has to say to you. Listen to what the Lord has to say to us. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength, Isaiah 30:15. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. An important part of personal devotions is investing time in God's Word, that is, in the Bible. God wants us to know him. God wants us to know what he's about, and he wants us to know what he's doing. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 is part of our mission statement for women's ministry. It is, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You remember in the garden, Satan said, did God say? Did God say? Did God say that? Is that? Did God say that? Sound like Urkel, don't I? Did I do that? Did God really say that? I really picture Satan as making a face. Did God really say that? Making you think, did he really say that? To know what God really said, we need to know for ourselves what he said. We need to know for ourselves what he said. So Psalm 119:11, we hide God's word in our hearts. We memorize the word of God. Oh, I can't memorize the word of God. Oh, yes, we can. I've used that line. I've used that same line. Now that I'm older, I just have the hardest time memorizing. But if I put it into a song, I can memorize anything. If I can memorize some of those commercials that I've heard when I was a kid, or when I was a teenager, or even a young adult, and I can still sing them to you right now, then I can learn the scriptures by singing them. So putting them to music. And so memorizing so that we avoid giving the wrong answer to that question, did God say? Because we know what the Word of God says. We know what God did say. We know for sure. So we get quiet and set aside all distractions. All distractions. That's why I'm not a big proponent of, there's nothing wrong with you reading scripture on your phones or on your iPad. There's nothing wrong with that at all. However, I find that when I do it, things pop up all the time. And I am distracted by other things. And so get away with all of those distractions so we can focus on the one we love. Read your Bible. Maybe use a Bible reading plan. Maybe you're going to use a devotional every day that you read through. There are lots of good devotionals, and you read through those devotionals. And the one thing to remember about a devotional is that it is a man's interpretation of a verse. And so when you use your devotional and you get man's interpretation of a verse, go ahead and check it out in your own Bible and get what God's interpretation to you is of that verse, because that will be that will instill His word in you. Investing time in God's word on a regular basis, not a habit, not a have to, because I thirst for it, because I hunger for it, because I want it. And we invest time in prayer. God wants to meet with you in quiet, even in secret places. Matthew 6:6, but you, when you pray, go into your closet or into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. I promise you, He will do that. I promise you, if you are in that secret place in prayer with the Lord, where nobody else can see and it's just between the two of you, God Himself will reward you openly. We are invited to come boldly into prayer. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. That we might find that grace to help in time of need. This is a place of security. It is a place of peace. Philippians 4:6-7, we all know this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with what? With thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Jesus taught us to pray, and He reinforces the idea that the Father knows what we have need of before we even ask Him. And so we're going to turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to start with verse 25. And yes, we're going to read all the way through here. Therefore, I say to you, verse 25 of chapter 6 of the book of Matthew, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Verse 26, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to her stature? So why do you worry about clothing? I worry about clothing because TJ Maxx has been closed for a long time. Why do we worry about clothing? I miss TJ Maxx. I'm telling you, it is a thing where Shannon said it too, and I think I've shared it with you before, just to go in there and pick up something and put it down. Not even buy it. I just want to handle it. I want to look at things. I want to touch things. And I can't try on anything. And now I can't even try on anything. Oh, my goodness. The things we have to suffer through all of this. Oh, it's hard to believe. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the the grass of the field, verse 30, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? Are any of those questions come up during this time of while you've been in your home? Came up every night. What shall we eat? I don't know. Do I have to cook every day? Or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things are going to be added unto you. As Jesus followers, we meet with God in personal devotions to grow spiritually. I'm betting that there are a lot of you out here exercise, and a lot of you out here eat very healthy, and you are in very good shape. You can endure more for longer periods and resist illness more when you eat well and when you exercise. That's just it's just true. You know, you can argue with it all you want. Well, that person still got sick. Yeah. But for the most part, when we are fit and we are healthy and we are moving, then we resist illness more. And the same is true with our spirit. We need to look at our devotional life as a spiritual workout. When we invest time regularly with God in his word and in prayer, it prepares us, guys. It prepares us for battle. Ephesians 6 says we put on the whole armor of God. It causes us to be strong in the Lord for the spiritual battle that is inevitable. The spiritual battle is always going on. I hope you know that to be true. I hope you are not sitting there saying, oh, well, the spiritual battles, not all the time. It's not always going on. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There is always a spiritual battle going on. And we need to invest that time with the Lord so that we can stand. Ever notice how long it takes to build up muscle? I work out, yes, one day a week with my daughter, Starlin, and she, we FaceTime, and she helps me do things to make my body work. And so we're lifting weights. Mine are like 2 or 3 pounds, you know, and hers are 10 pounds, and we're doing that. And I've got my little tube ones. Oh, you want it out like that? Oh, I can't do it. 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 2 pounds. Notice how short of a time it takes for all of that muscle to go when you stop working out. It's like that. It's not fair. It's the same with our spiritual fitness. Those spiritual muscles begin to atrophy when we're not investing time in God's word and prayer on a regular basis. What happens? We forget what we know, and then we forget how to listen to God, and that before we know it, we are doubting God, and we are starting to ask, did God really say that? You see the progression? So Habakkuk 2:2, write the vision, make it plain so that those who follow can run with it. What will you leave behind of your day-to-day devotional life? I want to encourage you to put it on paper. What you're leaving behind of your devotional life, don't leave it on your computer. People will not accidentally find things on your computer. When we are gone, my kids are not going to go searching through my computer to find what they can find out about me. But they will look at some of the things that I have written. And that's what we need to do. Leave things behind that make a difference in other people's lives. So on May 5th, we began going through the book of Habakkuk. And we learned to be watchmen, watchpersons. You know, when I tried to type that in, it wouldn't even type it in. It said that is such a wrong word. Watchpersons. That sounds wrong, doesn't it? We are watchmen. What does a watchman do? A watchman watches for the dangerous things and then what? Shares it. They warn people. We are watchmen who see the danger and then warn others of the danger that's arising against us. And we didn't even plan on doing Habakkuk. When we first started the study, those 4 weeks were all just to be announced. We were just trusting the Lord for what he had to give us, and we find that this is exactly what he had to give us. So where are we now? I'm not just starting the study now on where are we now, because that's what the title of this study is. We've been through about 70 days of lockdown. 70 days of lockdown. And we're just beginning to work our way through the reopening of our lives. And guys, I didn't say this to the morning ladies, just probably because I just forgot to say it, but let's, in the reopening, let's not forget what God did in the midst of that time. Because I don't know about you, but God changed me. I'm different. I'm a different person than I was when I went into this. And I know that all of you guys are too. You're a different people than when you went into it. So let's not go back to being whatever normal is. Let's not go back to the new normal. Again, what we said last week, let's be extraordinary women for God. Let's be extraordinary women for God. So we've been through these 70 days, and some of the things that have been canceled, couples retreat canceled, St. Patrick's Day celebrations canceled, conferences canceled, a trip to Solvang for me was canceled, which I'm very upset about. Celebration of my grandson's birthday, so I learned how to do a drive-by birthday party. Granddaughter's graduation canceled. Weddings postponed, only to name a few. You could put more to that. We have learned how to use Zoom, something I never thought I'd be able to do, and I never would have done it without Shannon's help. Moms are learning how to homeschool. Scared me to death. I'm so thankful I didn't have little kids at home because I would never be able to do it. We work from home. We have cooked meals every single day. Every single day. We had to cook meals. So we got to the place where we stopped eating lunch because I don't want to cook three times a day. So we've cleaned things out. We've done things on our houses. We've planted gardens. We've exercised at home. We've walked more. We've walked the dog more. Have you seen that little YouTube thing or Instagram thing, whichever it is? And the dog, when they first say, let's go for a walk. And he goes, oh, yeah, 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 let's go for a walk, yeah, yeah. And then in a couple of hours, it's a, let's go for a walk. Yeah, okay, let's go for a walk. And the third time, it's like, let's go for a walk. Yeah, okay, I'll go for a walk. And then the fourth time, the dog is laying under the table, refusing to go on another walk. I'm not going on another walk. But hopefully we have learned how to walk closely with the Lord. And hopefully we have learned how to trust the Lord more. Hopefully we have learned how to love one another more. God is at work in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2:13, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You have been positioned by God. And I had shared this with another person that's in here some time ago when I came across it. It's called This Day, and it was something that I had shared at one of our retreats, and I thought it's worth sharing with you tonight because it is about this day. This is a new day. Every day is a new day. And so we are looking forward to what God has for us. This is a day that I have never seen before. This is a day of rejoicing, a day of giving thanks. This is a day for recognizing and knowing that Jesus loves me. If Jesus didn't love me, I wouldn't be standing here right now. I doubt that I would have been alive by this time. In Lamentations 3, around verse 19, it reminds me of some of the hard times that I've been through in the past. But then I take a look at verses 21 through 26, and I'm going to read it from a different translation than a New King James, and that is Lamentations 3, starting with verse 21. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him. So it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Today is a new day. It is your day. Walk in it knowing you are in the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. This day, nothing, not even the enemy of my soul, will keep me or rob me of my joy. None of it. This day, I will use the word of God when the enemy is on the attack. This day, every trap the enemy sets for me will be turned on him. Whoa! Yes, indeed. This is, and God is going to do make it into good for me. This day, no weapon formed against me is going to prosper. Isaiah 54, 17. This is my day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will be glad in it. God has blessed me with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. This is the day. This day, I will not let anything, nothing, not anything, deter me from the will of God for my life. Nothing. This day, I will lift up my shield of faith against all the fiery darts of the enemy. I will lift up my shield of faith against all the fiery darts of the enemy. This is my day. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. This day, I will fear no evil, for the Lord is with me. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. I am comforted by the Lord today. On my day, this is my day. This day, I will walk in the identity Christ Jesus has given to me. I belong to a family. Even if I live all alone, I belong to a family. And I will walk in the identity Christ Jesus has given to me. This is my day. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. We need to repeat that time and time again. This day I shall not want because the Lord has given me my daily bread. I have all I need. This day the Lord has supplied all my needs according to his riches and glory. I have everything I need today. I might think I don't have something that I need, but I can guarantee you I have everything that I need. Even though I don't have everything I want. This day, I will wait on the Lord. I will be encouraged, and he will strengthen my heart. This day, I will wait on the Lord. I will be encouraged, and he will strengthen my heart. this is the day that the Lord has made. He gave it to me, and I refuse to waste it. He gave me this day, and I refuse to waste it. Every day is what I make it. I get to choose how I respond or react. I get to make a choice of rejoicing and walking in the light or walking in darkness. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will be glad in it. And Lord Jesus, I thank you for this day. Hallelujah for this day. Gals, you have come a long way. The old commercial, it was for cigarettes, though. You've come a long way, baby. We have come a long way in these 70 days. We are different people. We are changed. We have been changed from the inside out. We pray like we have never prayed before. I don't know about you, but I'm praying a lot more than I ever used to pray. I'm seeking the Lord a lot more than I used to seek the Lord. I'm trusting God more than I used to trust God. I am seeing God do things. I am seeing people come to Christ through a Zoom meeting. I am talking to people I would not have talked to any other time. I'm in places where I never would have been if I hadn't been going through this time. I don't know about you, but God has changed me. And I told you, when we started back in May, we didn't have any idea what the book we were going to do, but God gave us Habakkuk. God has you. God's got you. God's got this. Whatever this is for you, whatever this is for you, God has got this. Whatever you're questioning, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds my future. And I know who holds your future. And so I want to thank you guys for anybody who participated in the drive-by last week. That was so fun. That was so fun to see you guys there. I am so thankful for this study that you guys have been a part of. I am so proud of you for sticking with it. I am so proud of you who have online, you have continued to just study and to get into God's Word. I'm so proud of you guys. I'm so excited to see what God's going to do next. I'm excited to see what God's going to do over the summer session. And I'm trusting that God's going to do great and mighty things, and I hope you'll be a part of that as well. And so as we close, rather than doing a closing prayer, you're probably going to want some tissue with you because we're going to do the UK blessing. You've seen it before. Pastor Bill showed it, and we're going to show that as the closing for this time. So let's just listen to that right now.
Amen. manna rained down from heaven. This isn't second guessing. We know that we are protected. May the peace that surpasses all understanding be our message. Grace and favors in your nature, in your essence.
May his favor be upon you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and the children, and the children. His favor be upon you.
Bless you, Lord. May you be blessed by God by that. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you. And he is for you. He is for you. He is for you. God bless you guys. Keep doing great things for God and keep walking with him. God bless you guys.
Jesus!
Thank you for listening to this heart-to-heart women's Bible study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the heart-to-heart women's ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
Giving up, letting go.